of you today. We want to welcome you to our services today and want to especially honor our mothers today and Mother's Day. Thank each one for being here. Encourage you to come back whenever you have the opportunity and know that you will be blessed as we are blessed to have you this morning. If you would, bow with me for a word of prayer. Father God, you are so good to us. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for each of us here this morning. We pray your blessings upon them. And as we study your word, we pray we'll be challenged by it and encouraged and draw closer to you. Father, we ask your forgiveness. We have sinned and we have fallen short of your glory. We have not said things we probably should have said. We've said things that probably we shouldn't have said. We have acted and behaved in many ways that is contrary to your will. And Father, we ask for your forgiveness. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you and to ask for forgiveness, to sing praises to you, to honor you as we're striving to do today. Father, we thank you for those who are in our presence today that are mothers. And Father, we thank you for their labors and their faith. And we pray that they continue to do the job that they have done so well. Father, we ask that you help us to be a light in this world. Help us to follow the example of your Son and the teachings of your word. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Do want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And as we think about motherhood, it's full of ups and downs. I don't necessarily have to tell you that. Many mothers have experienced that. There is good and there is bad. One mother said, "The joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all the children are finally in bed." Another mother, talking about with her old college friend, said that, "Remember when I was before I was married, I had three theories about raising children. Well, now I have three children and no theories." Another woman who had three children was asked if she would do it all over again. Would you have children? And her answer was yes, but not the same ones. Yet someone has pointed out something more serious, that 69 kings of France, only three were really loved by their subjects, and those three were the only ones that were raised by their mothers who loved them and not by a tutor or a guardian. It just may be true what Napoleon said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." So we do want to honor mothers today. And the Bible has a lot to say about mothers. As you think about motherhood and mothers, ask yourself this question. If for some reason I had to leave my child with someone and trust them to their care, who would it be? Who would be the person that would have the ability, the character, the facilities, the resources to provide for my child? What characteristics would you look for? What would be the maturity level of the individual? Education, would they be famous or not? These and other questions come to mind if you think about if you had to entrust your child to someone else's care. Because we wouldn't leave our children with just anyone, and neither did God. In our Bibles, in Luke chapter 1, we are reminded of how God sent his Son to this earth. And notice as we read this text in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, we see that God entrusted his Son with the mother Mary. And as we look at this, we see that there are many examples that Mary can share and help us, not just mothers, but all of us learn to be better individuals and better Christians in regards to our Christian walk. First of all, as we think about Mary as being a role model for motherhood, we see that, first of all, she was a servant. She was a servant. And for Luke chapter 1, verse 38, notice again what it says. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Mary calls herself a maidservant or a servant of the Lord. And we know that Mary was a servant. In fact, we are introduced to her as really a pretty ordinary person. At the time of Gabriel's appearance, she was engaged to Joseph. And Joseph was a carpenter, again, an ordinary job in the first century. She is not an extraordinary person in position in society. We could also see that Mary lived in a very humble town. We see over in John chapter 1 that it's made reference to as what good could come out of Nazareth. It was a pretty obscure little place. And so when we think about all the accounts and all the understanding of Nazareth, of Mary, of Joseph, they're pretty ordinary people until we see she has been blessed with having the child Jesus. Well, even when you look at his birth, as we continue in the pages of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Mary gave birth to Jesus in humble means, born in a stable. We see that her occupation would later be probably as a housewife, as she tended the cares of the needs of her husband and as her children. Everything about Mary was ordinary, except the one thing. She was a servant of God. She was a servant of God. And unlike other servants of God, she did not run away from the job. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we've been talking about Moses. Moses made a lot of excuses about doing what God had asked him. And as we continue to study about Moses, he continues to make excuses. We can look at other people throughout the Bible and see that they make excuses as well. We can think about Gideon or one of the prophets. And we see that sometimes when God came to these individuals, they'd make excuses. Not Mary. Mary, in verse 38 of Luke 1, reminds us that she says she can ask the Lord to do according to his word. So God used Mary in an extraordinary way. But as we think about what lessons we can learn, we are reminded that God still uses servants. God still needs servants. He uses ordinary servants, ordinary people. All we can see and throughout the pages of the Bible is sometimes he uses a king or someone who is very rich or has a lot of influence. But the majority of people we see God using is ordinary servants. People like you and I, people like Mary. Someone has written a little piece talking about a Christian mother, and it goes as follows. I'm just an ordinary Christian mother. The one who says that usually means that they don't put themselves in the limelight. They may teach a Bible class or help with food, feed those who are in need, or with a family who has lost a loved one. They may raise children, organize things for the church, or work behind the scenes. She brings her husband good and not harm. She works with her hands and is frugal with her time and money. She helps provide for her family, ensures the needs are taken care of. She influences family and friends in godly ways by praying with them and reading the Bible and bringing them to worship. She introduces them to Christ and his way of living. See, the ordinary Christian mother is not really ordinary at all. She's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is something just not of mothers, but all men and women who understand that Jesus is Lord and have repented of their sins and put Christ on in baptism can be that ordinary servant of God that God can use in mighty ways, in small ways, to make a difference in this world like we see with Mary. See, I guess we could really say there's no such thing as an ordinary servant, or an ordinary mother, ordinary father. When God is involved in one's life, extraordinary things can happen. And we see this is one such thing that happened with Mary. She is a servant of God, and she was willing and obedient to that one true God to work in her life. But number two, not only was Mary a servant, she was righteous. There's a number of instances throughout the Gospels that indicate that Mary was a righteous individual. First of all, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, we see that the Lord had found favor in his sight for Mary. The passage we have already looked at in Luke 1 verse 38, where we see that she's a servant of the Lord. And then Mary's song in Luke chapter 1 verses 46 through 55. We see that she offered praises to Almighty God. In fact, we could understand this as a psalm in the New Testament that she offers. again, notice through that psalm her righteousness, her faithfulness, her allegiance to Almighty God. And then over in Luke chapter 2, we see that as it was instructed by the law of Moses, we see that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to be circumcised at the temple. His parents, Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, also would go to the feast of the Passover, as we again see in Luke chapter 2 and 41. We see also that it was their custom to go to the synagogue in Luke 4 and verse 16. These and other places in the Bible tell us of the righteousness of the allegiance to God that Mary and Joseph had. It reminds us that she recognized God as the mighty one, as the true living creator of all. And she understood her allegiance to him. She understood her worship to him. And she understood that she needed to praise him and honor him all the days of her life. Mary was righteous. And Mary's righteousness is an example to mothers today, as well as all of us. As we think about her righteousness, we see that she is such an example to remind us to plant those seeds of righteousness. Back in Psalms chapter 78, verses 3 through 7, notice what it has to say in regards to raising children and planting that seed of righteousness. In Psalm 78, verse 3, it begins by saying, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he had commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations come might know them, the generations who will be born, that they may rise and declare to them their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." We see in this passage, it's a reminder what great responsibility that not only mothers and fathers have in raising their children in the ways of righteousness. We see an example of this in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, where Paul writes to young Timothy and reminds him that because of his faith, it came through his grandmother and mother, and it helped be able to shape him and mold him into the faithful man that he was when Paul wrote to him. See, Timothy's mother and grandmother made a solid foundation of faith and righteousness in there to help their child grow. And so there's great responsibilities that parents, and particularly in our topic this morning, mothers have in regard to their children. I came across a story in preparing this lesson that probably helps illustrate this very point of a mother's love for the Lord and trying to pass that love to their children. The story is told of a mother who had this attitude when the congregation she was attending was pouring new cement for a walkway to the meeting house. The woman went and had her two-year-old baby's hand imprinted in the cement, pointing to the door of the building. She wanted a reminder not only to that child, not only to her friends and brothers and sisters in the church, but to herself, that she was going to do all she could to direct her child in the ways of the Lord. See, mothers have a great responsibility in leading in righteousness. And we have to ask ourselves, how is my righteousness? What am I doing to influence my children in the ways of God? Do we know God's word well enough to pass it on to our children? Do we set a godly example and love the worship of the Lord and praising him? Is our home and our home life built on Christ's solid foundations? Mothers are responsible, as well as fathers, of building their house on the Lord. Psalms 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain." Question, who's building your house this morning? Over 2,000 years ago, God chose a young girl to give birth to his son, Jesus Christ. And God chose Mary because of what she was already doing in her life. She was already a servant. She was already righteous. She had this foundation of faith that we see throughout her life. And so God chose to entrust his son, his only begotten son, with Mary because of her faith and righteousness. But number three, Mary was faithful. She was faithful. Mary's faithfulness can be seen, as we've already looked at this morning, as her being a servant, looked at her righteousness, her love, and her devotion throughout all her life. As we think about Mary, the story doesn't end at Jesus' birth, but it continues. It continues as Jesus grows in wisdom and he is nurtured and develops into a man. And we see even to the cross. And the first pictures we have of Mary is in Nazareth. But the final picture we have of Mary is of an older woman. We're not sure of her age, but we are told and see that at least she followed Jesus through the 3 years of his ministry up to the time of the cross. In fact, as we look in the life of Mary, she was a follower of Jesus Christ. The last time we see Mary in the scriptures is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. And there we see that she joined together in prayer with those who are following Jesus. That's the last we hear in scripture. This glimpse of Mary reminds us of her faithfulness, that regardless of what she had experienced, and regardless of all the things that has happened before her, she continues to follow Jesus. Over 30 years, Mary is still right there supporting and following and putting God at the center of her life. Mary's love and devotion for Jesus is unquestionable. Yet her faithfulness and devotion must also be, it must have been tested and very stressful. As we think about her experience, I'm sure that she would have had questions along the way. In fact, I'm sure that there was questions as she saw her son hanging there on the cross. But as she experienced that, we see that she continued to love him and follow him all the days of her life. I'm sure that there was doubts, as we see in John 7, that Jesus' own brothers and sisters rejected him and didn't believe in him until later on in their life. I'm sure that really tore Mary's heart and hurt her, that knowing her sons and daughters had this disbelief in who Jesus was. But as we continue to read and throughout Scripture, we do that see that some of Jesus' brothers come to faith. For example, James and Jude. And we have to wonder, and we have to believe, and we have to suspect that Mary had a great part in that because she was faithful all the way through. As we think about Jesus and Mary's faithfulness, Mary was devoted to Jesus all the days of her life. And then we are thinking about what Jesus experienced at the cross. Mary was there. She was faithful. And so it's a reminder to us that mothers, as well as fathers, are to be faithful. We're to be faithful to the Word of God. We're to be faithful to Christ as he set the example. And realizing that there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be turmoils and turbulence. But in our relationship with God, we must continue to be faithful. And so Mary presents a great challenge. As she endured the challenges of following Jesus in this life, we see that there will be challenges of following Jesus for us as well. But finally, as we conclude our thoughts about thinking about Mary and her example for us, we need to realize, and I don't have to tell you, there are many myths surrounding Mary. Mainly the one concept, the Immaculate Conception, which states that Mary remained a virgin throughout her life. Some believe that she is also a mediator along with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in heaven. Some believe that Mary was assumed and directly went to heaven and had a miraculous resurrection and taking into heaven. On and on we could go when talking about the various myths about Mary. But as the scriptures present it, and I believe they are true, I know they are true, Mary was just a regular woman, a servant of God. She was a woman that was righteous in the sight of God. She was a faithful woman in the sight of God, who endured many hardships and trials, griefs and pains, ups and down. But as we think about this, God entrusted his son to Mary, a godly servant, a righteous woman, a faithful mother to Jesus. These qualities are not only good for mothers, but are good for all of us. And Mary, like many others throughout the Bible, have great qualities that we should emulate and strive to develop in our life. We just looked at three this morning, but there are many other qualities we probably could add to our lives besides just being a servant, being righteous and faithful. But may I caution you, as we think about Mary, as we also study the scriptures and we look at other people, as we live in this day and time and we think about people in general, whether it's a sports star or a movie personality or maybe someone in our family, the Bible reminds us that we must guard against exalting any person other than God, whether that be Mary or someone else. Honoring them and reverencing them beyond what the scripture commands is really false. And the Bible reminds us to guard against that. Jesus even guarded against this. Notice what he says in regards to his mother in Luke chapter 8 and verse 21. But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And then again in Luke 11 verse 27 and 28. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And so Jesus' challenge is our challenge today. We need to be able to model those examples we see in the Bible of being a servant, of being faithful, of being a righteous individual. But as Jesus reminds us, we do this because this is what the Word of God tells us to do, and we must keep it, never exalting anyone above what God has already commanded. So when we hear these words and obey, hear the Word and obey the Word, we are to be those servants. We are to be righteous. We are to be faithful. Today, as you think about your life, as you think your life as a mother, as a father, as an individual, we need to ask ourselves, am I a faithful person? Am I a servant of God? Am I living and striving to be the righteousness God has instructed and commanded? If not, maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you need to be restored to his church. Or maybe you're here and you've never confessed your faith in Christ, repented of your sins, and put him on in baptism. I challenge you to think about this and do this morning as we stand, as we sing.
You walk with him.